We're on a stewardship journey. The next 3 weeks we'll be talking about stewardship. We have our transformation now is our theme. And so we'll be talking, stewardship is not just money, but in our society, money is a big thing. It's an important thing. And so we'll be talking about it as, in part, as it relates to money. Now, I know a stereotype is that in church, all you hear them talk about is money. But as far as I can tell, most Methodist churches that I've been associated with, we don't do that. In fact, we talk about it very little. That may not be a good decision, because Jesus seems to want to talk about it all the time. Somebody said, for every reference Jesus makes to sex or romance, he makes 10 to money. And so we're going to talk a little bit about money. We're going to look at a story that Mark tells about a man who comes up to Jesus and wants to follow him. Jesus talks to him and the man responds. Jesus draws some conclusions from that. And then Peter, of course, gives his take on the issue. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on here. There's three sections, so let's make our way through that first section. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. So let's understand what's going on here. Here's this great guy. This is a guy who calls Jesus good. He doesn't, sometimes in the Gospels, people have ulterior motives and they're calling Jesus good, but they don't really mean it, or they're trying to flatter him. But no, this guy comes in and says, "You're a good teacher, you're a good rabbi." And he kneels in honor and submission to Jesus and his teaching. And he asks him an important question, a question that many rabbis were asked: how do I inherit eternal life? How do I get saved? Or how do I honor God with my life? Now, it's sort of oddly phrased, inherit, because usually when you think of an inheritance, you get that because of a relationship you have with somebody. The way to inherit something is to be connected with them. But beside that, the young man wants to know. And he asks Jesus. And Jesus gives sort of a Sunday school answer. He says, "Well, you know the commandments. Keep them." And that's what most rabbis would have answered in Jesus' day. That was a common question to be asked. And the answer is, obey God, obey his commands, and avoid sin. And Jesus just focuses, he says, "You know the commandments, keep them." And the guy says, got that checked off. Now, you and I, sometimes we want to say, well, did he really have them checked off? Was he really a good guy? But Jesus doesn't seem to doubt him. In the book of Job, Job is called a righteous man, and that's clear, he is. Job didn't get what he deserved in the book of Job. He was righteous. He was seen as a good person. Paul is able to say in Philippians 3:6, as to the law, I was blameless. And Paul is saying, I did what the law told me to do. I was a good person. And so you would think, that's the answer. That's good. That's enough. You checked it off. You're in. It's okay. But Jesus says, the Bible says, he looked at him and loved him. Jesus isn't saying, no, you're a liar. Jesus isn't saying, oh, I don't trust you. Jesus is out of concern and a desire to help this person, says, you lack one thing. So he says, take all that you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have riches in heaven. He's saying, I want you to be rich. I want you to be blessed. But the way to be blessed is to give it away. And you will be rich. You won't be rich as the world counts it, but you will be truly rich as God counts it. You will be rich in heaven. You will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. So he's wanting to follow Jesus, and Jesus is saying, something's in the way. You're keeping the commandments, but something is in the way of you following me. And you need to get something out of the way. And it seems to be his possessions. Now, I would like the Bible to teach this about wealth. Wealth is morally neutral. That if you use wealth for good, it is good. If you use it for evil, it is evil. But it is neutral. It's just a thing that if you use it well, it's good. If you use it poorly, it's bad. But that doesn't seem to be what the Bible teaches about wealth. The Bible teaches that wealth is dangerous. That it can influence and shape you. That's why it's called mammon, a god. Money is a god. And it can change you. There have been studies done, and one of the results of these studies is that they look at how wealthy you are and how much empathy you have for other people. And the more you have, the less empathy you have. I would like to dispute that, except I find it true in my own life. When I'm going through something, I'm aware of it and sensitive to it in other people. When I'm not going through it, I'm insensitive to what they are going through. When I'm sick, I really feel for people who are sick. When I'm not sick, oh, I'm sorry you're sick. Glad I'm not, is what I'm thinking, though. So, Jesus is saying money is a dangerous thing. And in this man's case, he needs to get rid of it because it's blocking his relationship with God. And to be honest, the man, I'm not sure how he's responding to this. There are two ways he could understand this. He might say, Jesus is wrong. Jesus is just wrong. This isn't true. And he walks away from Jesus. But I think what more likely is true is that he sees that Jesus is right, but he's not willing to make a change. He's saying, you're right. If I'm really going to follow God, if I'm going to really trust God, I'm going to have to give something up. I'm going to have to get something out of my life, but I'm not willing to. I want to hold on. And he goes away grieving. Because what you really want is to have your cake and eat it too. Isn't that the case? When somebody has a heart attack, the doctor will do surgery, will give you medicine, and then the doctor will say you need to change your lifestyle. You need to change the way you what you eat and your activity. You need to start exercising, change your lifestyle. And what patients most often say is, didn't you just clear out my heart? And then, didn't you just give me medicine? That's good enough for me. They want to get the good heart and stay as they are. And I think that's what this young man wants. He wants eternal life. He wants to follow Jesus but not give anything up. And he goes away grieving because he's not willing to give up what's needed. And now this shocks him, I think, but it also shocks the disciples. The disciples aren't good on this. They're sort of confused and upset. Listen to what they say. Then Jesus looked around. I imagine he's looking around to see how they're responding, as I am too, because I imagine some of you are already mad at me. And he said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words. Here's what I think they're thinking. They're thinking back to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs says, if you obey God, he'll bless you. If you do what's right, you'll get what's right. And over again, the book of Proverbs seems to say, if you're a good person, God blesses you and you'll have much blessing and you'll have abundance. And Jesus seems to be saying, that man may have been blessed by God, but he's got a problem. There's a barrier between him and God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. I think in some ways he's saying it's hard for everybody. It's not just the rich. The rich have a built-in problem with our wealth. Because the thing I don't like about this passage is that it includes me, because I'm one of the wealthy. You and I have more than most of the people in the world have ever had. We may be in the top 99% of humanity, not just America, but in the history of the world. All of us may be in the top 99%. Top 1%, I should say. We're in the top 1%. We're the elite. All of us are the elite. Do you have a car? Do you have a stove? Do you have running water? Do you have hot? Do you have that miracle of hot water in the morning without building a fire? You've got things that most kings have never had. You've got a chariot better than King David or Solomon had. Than all of the Roman Empire emperors had. You've got it made. When we were on vacation, we were in Diocletian's palace. Wasn't that great? Of course, it is 2,000 years old, but wasn't all that great. I'd rather have my house. It's air conditioned. It has a roof. Jesus is saying, it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. Then he goes back and says, even for the rich, it's hard. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And when you hear that, you know, through the ages, everybody's wanted to make that easier. You know, the word for camel and the word for twine are very similar in Hebrew. And what Jesus really meant is putting twine through an eye of a needle. But yeah, you have to work it. You got to, you know, depending on what your eyes are like, you got to, and you can get it through with a little effort. Or I've heard this story that there's a gate in Jerusalem that it's really short. And if camels get on their knees and breathe in, they can, and you push them from the rear, that you can get them through. No. Jesus makes it clear, for mortals, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are amazed and shocked, and they say, who can be saved? If the rich, who God is blessing, are not going to get saved, who is? And what Jesus says, it depends on God. It depends on putting our trust in God and depending on Him. And money gets in the way of doing that, because who needs to pray for our daily bread when I've got a refrigerator full of food and a pantry full of food? I don't need to pray for daily bread. I have money that will buy me food at the grocery store. When you're sick, we often, most of our prayer requests are for people who are sick. But what people really depend on is doctors. They want health insurance. I'm not saying people don't pray and don't want to pray and don't ask for prayer. No, of course they do. But what they depend first on is doctors, because we have health insurance, because we have doctors, because we can afford them. Our prayer life would be very different if we didn't. A preacher, was talking to a college professor that they were both working at, and said, I don't know how to fight for health care for poor people. I don't know what to do. I want health care for poor people, but I don't know what to do about it. And he said, well, do what I do. I gave up health insurance. The university offered it to me, but I refused to fill out the paperwork and sign it. And so I don't have health insurance. Of course, that preacher said, oh, he wasn't really willing to go that far to make a difference. But don't you know that professor looked at health insurance differently and the issues differently because he didn't have it? Having health insurance, of course, shapes us. And we have the money to talk about to have health insurance. I don't want this to be a political issue about insurance. What my point is that when we have stuff, it often gets in the way of our relationship with God. It's not just money. Jesus isn't just talking about the rich. He's talking about whatever gets in the way of our trusting God. Now, you may think this is sort of intellectual or theoretical, and how are we going to know whether we trust God, whether we've gotten rid of what we need to get rid of? I want to give you two words that I think will help you: examine and excavate. I have a spiritual mentor, and he asked me to write some things down about my life. And after doing that, I came to the conclusion that I'm afraid. I'm a fearful person. And that only happened because I looked at my life and saw, what are things that wake me up at night? What are things that keep me up when I wake up in the middle of the night? And I began to see, I'm a fearful person. And he said, you need to start telling people what you're afraid of. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm afraid of, but just let me give you the big picture. I'm a scaredy cat. But you know what happened? Once I realized that and began to say that out loud, I'm not as much a scaredy cat. I'm not as afraid, because I'm remembering that God has been faithful to me and gotten me through so much and loves me so much, and I'll be okay. I'm still afraid. Those things still get inside me and worry me. But I'm turning it over to God and I'm trusting Him. That's by examining. Are there things that are getting in the way? Are there things that you need to let go of? In the Bible, the way to lessen the power of stuff is to let go of it, get rid of it, to be generous. So excavate. Look in your lives. What can you get rid of? What don't you need? What are you holding on to that you don't really love and care about? Because what Jesus is saying is, if you want to follow Him, and that's what we are here for, that's why we call ourselves Christians, if you want to follow Him, you need to get rid of some stuff. I don't know what yours is. I know what some of mine is. If you've been to my office, it's books. I love books. I think that might be because I have an inadequacy. And I think if you see a lot of books, you'll think I'm smart. Can I live without books? What would it be like if you came into my office and I have 3 books? Can I let go of that? That status that my books, at least I think, give me. None of y'all probably think it gives me any status, but let me live in my bubble. If you want to follow Jesus, get stuff out of the way. Amen.